Good morning. Before I forget, Merry Christmas. It's one of the things I always liked about at least my take on the Church of Christ was the fact that we didn't seem to put as much emphasis on the specific days around Christmas. It always felt to me that we almost celebrated and worshiped Christmas every Sunday in this church. And I think that's the way it should be. But I still want to recognize that the fact 2 days from now is Christmas, and I hope everybody has a wonderful time with their family, hopefully get to spend some time doing some things that you don't normally get to do in your hectic lives. If there's anybody visiting with us, I have to point out, I am not a minister, pastor, preacher, any of the above. I have no formal training, so I want to make sure I get that out of the way. I am strictly a member of the congregation that is afforded the opportunity to come up here and share my thoughts, and I appreciate that opportunity. I also want to point out that this is probably one of the rare times throughout the course of the year that both my daughters and my wife will actually listen to me for 20 minutes. Couldn't help it. The last few weeks we've been looking at some of the characters in the Christmas story. As I said last week when I was up here, 40-some years that I've heard the Christmas story. And we've been looking at some of the characters in that story a little deeper these past few weeks. And there was a lesson plan that David shared with us, and this Sunday was the Magi. I actually got rid of most of the lesson plan. I didn't care for it, but I did stick with the Magi. And the Magi is one of those references in the Christmas story that if you go to a non-secular, non-biblical source, there's a ton of information out there. I mean, you go on Google, Wikipedia, and look up Magi. I went down so many different paths. I mean, you could make a movie out of this stuff, and it would probably be a pretty exciting, picture. And that's where sometimes, where we're getting on you're getting on the bus with me. I hope the wheels don't fall off because we go down all these different side streets. But when you look at Google and Wikipedia, I found out some things that even though I had listened to the story for so many Sundays for so many years, I didn't realize. And it'd be kind of neat to maybe spend some time, and I know many of you out there probably have already done this, but it's the first time I looked at these characters as closely as I have this past week. So first thing is Matthew 2, 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So, first thing is to figure out where they came from. So, some of my research and some of the things I looked at, more than likely Persia, which is what we would now call Iran. A lot of that's based on some of the descriptions that we've been given over the years of how they carried themselves, what they believed in, some of their teachings. I did a quick search and figured that roughly 1,000 to 1,400 miles away, give or take, depending exactly where they were coming from in that area. In today's society, it would take you about a day, day and a half to travel from there to Bethlehem. In their day, month and a half probably, treacherous trip. Desert, most certainly probably would have had a military escort with them. This wouldn't have been three guys and camels as the picture depicts that we're so used to seeing when we talk about the Magi. Three wise men, three kings. Some of my studies took me beyond the fact that there may have been more than three. A lot of times we fixate and lock in on the fact that there were three just because of the gifts, which I'll discuss here in a few moments. But again, they probably came from, at the time, Parthian Empire. A lot of big words I came across over this past week, too, as well. Some of the Eastern traditions that we were talking about, when I said that we discussed how many there actually were, some say there were 12, some of the Eastern religions. But again, in the Nativity, we typically only see three in our culture. And again, the three gifts are probably where we get that from. possibly would have been Zoroastrian priests, depending on which version you look at when you look up and try to do research on the Magi. They would have been tied to what we know as today's Kurdish Empire, the Kurds, when we talk about a lot of talk in these past few years about Iraq, northern Iraq, and the Kurdish Empire. Traditionally, we refer to them when we've given them names. Kaspar, probably a king. Some say king of India, Babylonia. Melchior, usually represented as a king of Persia. And Belshazzar, Arabian king possibly, Ethiopian king. More than likely, all three of them would have been very schooled, very intelligent individuals. Would have been very well versed in religion, history, medicine, and astronomy, which is a lot of where their background came from and which will tie us back into the star. In some religions, I think one of the ones primarily was Eastern Orthodox Jews. Many considered them saints and martyrs. And that was one of those whole other paths that I started going down where, that there was references to the fact that these three particular men, where their bodies were enshrined and worshipped. And so again, one of those, a lot of history here, a lot of things that can really be looked at when you look at these three individuals. But again, it would have been long distance, long trip. They would have been very influential, very important people, very wealthy people, more than likely. So again, they probably would have had a full military escort with them as well. Very long, arduous trip. Timing on all this stuff really got me turned around when I was looking at the history and the timing with the star and the birth of Christ. Again, this could be something you just spend I'm sure there's many scholars that have spent years in research on this subject alone. There were ties to Daniel, and I never really, I guess I kind of put it all together, but, when you look at Daniel and the story of Daniel in the lion's den, a lot of the reference to Daniel says that his time with the Magi is what basically ended up him up in the lion's den. He was, at one point, given the title Chief of the Magi. So this is some of the, where we find that the Jewish and the Persian empires were tied together and where people not of the Jewish faith learned about the birth of Christ. Again, I'd never really tied together the whole importance of Daniel and how he related to basically sharing the word and the message of God to people outside of the Jewish empire. Daniel basically, I felt after my research, was the tie. What brought these men into this story? Behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. So, as we go through the story in Matthew and verse 9, and it references a star. And since that was obviously what brought the Magi to us and into this story, I just do a little bit of background on this. And a lot of speculation when it comes to the star. And I had heard some of these over the years. Some say it may have been Halley's Comet. Some say it may have been a supernova, an exploding star. Conjunction of planets, which I never even heard of. Maybe I did in high school, I don't know, where planets come together, line up every 125 years. And then my favorite, a miraculous event. I look at a lot of this research I did, and a lot of, as I look, more when I come up here to do a message, and I look a little deeper than I ever used to. One of the things I found is, even though that there's a lot that you can reference in history, to tie together with all the Christmas story and all our beliefs. At the end of the day, a lot of it comes down to faith. And that's where I fall out on a lot of stuff. It's nice when you have some of these tie-ins together that you can share with people. And when they ask you questions about your religion and your faith and your beliefs, point them towards certain things. But when it came right down to it, I figured, well, you know, if God can create this earth, he can sure put a star where he wants to when he wants to. So I kind of go with that explanation personally. Some of the timing with the star as well, one of the things I found out when I was doing some research on that, certain traditions that celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, it's based on wise men showing up on January 6th, 12 days after Christ's birth. So that's, I never knew that. Again, I don't celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, so it really wasn't of major importance to me. But again, all the timing with the Magi, that's where a lot of faiths come up with some of their beliefs, their tradition, so to speak. Matthew 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Again, we're referencing the Magi, the wise men, the three kings. I can't even imagine, and when we talk about emotions, you know I like to talk about emotions and motivation and why we feel the way we feel and why we do the things we do. I cannot even fathom how, you know, when you say rejoiced exceedingly, you know, they're obviously trying to really put a lot of emphasis on, you know, this was major. But I tried to picture that, you know, I was sitting there and I said, can you imagine, you know, I... big sports fan, you all know that. You know, and I can imagine, you know, the beginning of the Super Bowl, sitting somewhere around the 50-yard line, really perfect seats, and the excitement of being there. And I just couldn't even fathom what those three men, very important men, had everything they needed in life, had many people answering to them. The emotion that they were overcome with, I just couldn't fathom, you know, being in that same room and realizing you were in the presence of the Savior of the world as we know it, that God sent, as was mentioned earlier, so that basically we could have an opportunity. We could actually do what we were meant to do. So, you know, me talking about emotions a lot, that really sank in with me. Matthew 2:11, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, first of all, one of the things to take away from that was the fact that, again, that emotion that they were overcome with, that they fell to the ground, that they bowed. These were men that probably didn't answer to a whole lot of people most of the time. And yet, instantly, ready to bow down, go to their knees, and worship this baby. A baby with no seeming outward worldly importance that we're used to. You know, that's something in itself, the fact that they brought those beliefs with them, not even being a part of the Jewish faith, and came into that room and just went to their knees and bowed down to this baby. No fancy clothing, not in a temple, not in a castle, not in a mansion, just a baby, a poor baby. And they didn't even second guess it, not a second thought. But they talked about the gifts they gave him, and we talk about, you know, some of the traditions and the tie-ins with Christmas as a Christian, and Christian as, you know, in our world, in our everyday walk through life. And when we talk about gifts, you know, I often said, you know, the tradition of gifts didn't start with Santa. It's not where it came from. Most believe that this is where the tradition of gifts came from. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I do know that these men made it a point to give these gifts to Mary, Joseph, and the baby, specifically for the baby. You know, gold, you know, as I looked a little deeper at these three gifts, gold, mostly straightforward. It's very valuable, meant for kings. So you have there, you know, giving to the king. Frankincense, type of perfume, symbol of a deity, a god. You know, when I looked at the symbolism of these gifts. And the myrrh, used primarily as an embalming ointment. Some of the, you know, things I read and questioned were, you know, was that meant as a, you know, the fact that they knew he was destined to suffer, you know, the symbol of death. Never really thought about myrrh in that respect, but many people believe that that's, since they knew how the prophecies were to be fulfilled, again, many of those things shared by Daniel, they came there knowing that one of the gifts they were going to be giving to him was basically symbolizing his suffering and his death in the future. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So we talked about that last week when I was up here and I spoke about Herod. And basically, again, no real reference to where they're going. Took a different way home. And that's it. In verse 12, that's the last we really hear about the Magi, the three, you know, the three kings, the wise men. It's not a whole lot of reference, but they are a very integral part of the Christmas story. Why were they put there? Why was Herod put there, as I said last week? I think really to share the fact that how much was prophesied ahead of Christ's birth. I think it lets us know that. I think that's part of why they were brought into this by God. Why they were shown the star, why they were guided specifically right to Christ. I think the fact that they, at the time, were tied to other religions and beliefs, in my thinking, put it in perspective that even though these people weren't a part of that Jewish faith, they realized the importance of this child that was to be born. I think that's part of why they were brought into this story. And obviously the simple fact that they realized how important he was and that they just bowed down to him and, you know, showed things to come in the future, the fact that how many people would believe that, you know, and respect the fact that this was the Savior, this was the Son of God sent down to earth so that we might be forgiven of our sins. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." So we wrapped up with the Magi, and I wanted to close with this scripture, Luke 2:10 through 12, often used when we reference Christ's birth. Fairly common. We talked about gifts and the gifts that the wise men gave to Christ. There was a lot of talk about, you know, what happened to those gifts. I never really thought about that part of it. You know, many said that, you know, they may have been shared with others. Joseph and Mary may have saw fit to pass along to some of the people that helped them. Gold may have been used for their travels. They had some traveling to do ahead of them, so that gold may have been used for that. But I think about gifts, and I think about Christ's birth, and I think about the fact that that's the greatest gift that we've been given as Christians. As we get into this secular part of Christmas and we look around us, you're going to potentially see a lot of people that at this time of year maybe are worse off than better off. They're going to be sad. They're going to be in despair. Chances are, and this is a perfect opportunity for us as Christians, chances are that they don't understand real gifts in life. They don't understand the biggest gift in life. More than likely, they haven't found Christ because they probably wouldn't be in despair and wouldn't be sad. I realize that there's times that potentially we've lost loved ones throughout the course of the year, and that's going to bring sadness, understandably so. There may be things in our lives that aren't the way they should be. We may have family members dealing with issues in their lives, health issues. We may have personal health issues we're dealing with. But the nice thing is that if we have received that gift as Christians, we know that we can deal with those issues that we're dealing with. Those lost loved ones, that won't be here with us this Christmas. The loved ones that maybe aren't in the kind of health that we'd like to see them in. Fortunately for us, we have that gift. And we will be able to deal with those things. But as you look around you and you see those people that haven't received that gift, as a Christian, this is your perfect opportunity. Share with them that there is something more important. Share with them that there is a bigger gift that means a lot more than anything they're going to find under their tree this year. And that's the fact that Christ gave his life for us so that we may have eternal life. Hopefully you have the opportunity sometime over this next week to share that with somebody. That's my goal. Hopefully I can achieve that goal. I'm going to try my best. Thank you for this time. I hope that everyone has a wonderful and joyous holiday. As we stand and sing this morning, if anyone has any needs at the church, please come forward. Anyone needs to be baptized in the name of Christ, please come forward as well. Thank you.